Okay, Tetzvav Amud Beis. Omar Rav Chisda, right? Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Shila. So let's remember, okay, last time we had a bit of a complicated Gemara, but the bottom line at the end was that there are three opinions about reciting Kriyat Shema inaudibly. The opinion of Rabbi Meir, who was that it's fine even l'chatchila. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was l'chatchila not, but b'di'evad yoytze. The opinion of Rabbi Yossi was not even b'di'evad. So what's the halacha? So that's where we start today. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Shila, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, sh'omar mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So we're going to follow two opinions here. The halacha is, as Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, what he said was, one should hear what he says. Now we construed that to mean, you should hear l'chatchila, but p'di'evad yoytze without hearing. But all he said was, one should hear what he says when he says Kriyat Shema. V'halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. And the halacha is also like Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the Mishnah, that if you did not hear what you said, you're yoytze. So we're putting these two rulings together. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said you should hear what you said, and Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah said if you did not hear, you're yoytze b'di'evad. Utzuich. Oh, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. Utzuich. Now, both of these rulings were required. The Ashminan Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, if we would just teach that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda that says that you're yoytze if you did not hear what you said, hava amina, we might think, afilo lechatchila. Oh, you're yoytze means that even lechatchila you can recite Kriyat Shema inaudibly. So, kamash malon, therefore we stress, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda shoma mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that no, you should hear what you said. You should hear what you said. Now, v'iyashminan halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda shoma mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if we would just say that the halacha is as Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, all he said was you should hear what you said. He didn't address what happens with the Eved. So if we'll just tell you that the halacha is that you should hear what you say, havamina, we might think that he means tzarich, you should hear what you say in an absolute way. Vein lo takana, meaning if you did not hear what you said, you messed up. There's no rectifying it. You're not yaitze. So kamash malon. Therefore, we stress halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda that you are yaitze b'di'evad. So the bottom line is yes, lechatchila when you recite Kriyat Shema, you should hear what you say. It should be audible. But in case you did not hear it, you're yaitze. That's the halacha as far as Kriyat Shema goes. I'll just note that this is not just an issue of, well, it's better to hear it, but it's okay if not. L'chatchila, there's a chiyuv to hear it. According to some of the poskim, it's actually a chiyuv d'oraisa. I mean, d'oraisa, you're supposed to say it, hearing it. Just that b'di'evad, you yaitze without it. But it's actually a chiyuv d'oraisa. Some say it's the rabbanon, but there are rishonim that say that it's d'oraisa. No, mean d'oraisa, the halacha is that you should hear the chatchila, but b'di'evad yoytze. We derive that from Sukkot. That in the d'oraisa itself, that's built in. Okay, now, Rav Stein asked, how does that apply to other mitzvahs? So let's see. Omer Rav Yosef, machloikis b'Kriyat Shema. This machloikis is about Kriyat Shema. Meaning, then we have an opinion that says that b'di'evad yoytze without hearing. Aval b'shar mitzvahs, when it comes to other mitzvahs, divrei hakol lo yotza. Everyone agrees that if you didn't hear what you said, when it comes to other brachas, berachas hamazon, etc., everyone agrees that if you did not hear what you said, if it was inaudible, you're not yoytze. That's where we stand now. Diksiv, as it says in the pasuk, haskeis ushma Yisrael. Regarding the Torah in general, the pasuk says, pay attention and hear Klal Yisrael. So by Kriya Shema, hear means to say in any language you comprehend. And besides that, we have a pasuk that says that the main point is that it should be in your heart. So therefore, you yoytze b'di'evet. But regarding other mitzvahs, regarding the Torah in general, we have a general pasuk that says, pay attention and hear. And therefore, regarding all other mitzvahs, because hamas and brachas, etc., if you don't hear, you're not yoytze, according to Rav Yosef. What's that? So meanwhile, yes, the rest. Pesukah Dezerah might be a different story, but brachas, anything that there's a real takana in, where he stands now, is that you will not be yoytze if you don't hear it. But let the Gemara finish its thing. What's that? Why do we learn? Well, Haskesu Shema Yisrael is said in general about Torah. Kriya Shema has its own pesukim saying that the main thing is that it should be in your heart. So therefore, Kriya Shema is construed as an exception to the rule. Where we stand now. Again, where we stand now. Let's see how the Gemara will finish. Meisavei. So we challenge that. You're saying that when it comes to all the mitzvahs, Birkas Hamazon, if you didn't hear what you said, you're not Yoytze. La'yavorech Adam Birkas Hamazon Belibay. About Birkas Hamazon, it says the same thing. One should not bench in his heart. Don't bench inaudibly. Ve'imbirech. But if you did bench inaudibly, Yatza, Yoytze. So there you have it. Another mitzvah, De'oraisa, that you're Yoytze if you said it inaudibly. So that certainly cannot be, that you're not Yoytze. Elo i'itmar hochi itmar. So rather, we have to revise. If anything, what he said was as follows. Omar Rav Yosef, the other way around. Machloikis b'kriyashma. It's only by kriyashma that we have a machloikis. Only by kriyashma do we have an opinion that you're not Yoytze. Diksim Shema Yisrael. Because specifically by kriyashma it says, Shema Yisrael, you must hear, which is the basis for the opinion that says you're not Yoytze. Aval b'shar mitzvahs. When it comes to other mitzvahs, Divrei HaKol Yotza. Everybody agrees that you are Yoytze, even without hearing. And therefore, yes, Birkas Hamazon, you should say in the Kachila, you should hear it. But if you did not hear, you're Yoytze. So the Gemara asks, Vaksiv Haskesu Shema Yisrael. But doesn't the Pasuk say, pay attention and hear Yisrael about all issues of Torah? So the Gemara answers, Ha'u B'divrei Torah Ksiv. No, that wasn't said about general recitations of that you have a chiyuv to recite. That was said specifically about Torah, that when it comes to Torah, you have to be especially attentive. But when it comes to mitzvahs in general, no, there's no pasuk saying that you have to hear it, and therefore, with chatchila, you should hear it, but b'di'evet, with everything else, you're yoytze. Now, l'maisa, this distinction doesn't have much bearing practically, because with Kriya Shema also, that's the story. Kriya Shema and everything else, with chatchila, you should hear it, but b'di'evet, if you did not, you are yoytze. So that's the bottom line, halacha. Okay. We go back to the Mishnah. Kara v'loidikdek ba'oisi yoysel. If a person recited Kriya Shema but was not careful to enunciate it properly. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you're not yoytze. And Rabbi Yosef said, you're yoytze. So Omar Abitavi, Omar Abyeshia, halacha kedivrei shneim lahakel. The halacha follows both opinions lekula, meaning both about reciting it audibly. We already ruled lekula that you're yoytze if you did not hear it, and also when it comes to proper enunciation, even though you should make a point of enunciating it meticulously, if you did not, you're yoytze. I'm sorry? We don't go with Rabbi Yehuda, right. Right. What's that? So you're asking a good question. Stan is asking, we're going to put Rabbi Yehuda's two rulings together, we're going to run into problems. The math is not going to work. Rabbi Yehuda ruled in the Mishnah that you don't have to hear Kriya Shema at all. So how can he say that if you didn't enunciate it properly, you're not Yotzer? If you didn't, it didn't have to be audible in the first place. So from a similar inference the Rashba makes, I mean, first that while you don't have to hear it, you certainly do have to articulate it. And that's actually the halacha. We say that you don't have to, that your yotze, if you didn't hear your Kriya Shema, you still have to have articulated it with your mouth. Meaning, if your mamash didn't articulate it, you just thought it, you're not yotze. You do have to articulate it verbally, just. If it was in undertones, you're yotze. But you do have to articulate it, and therefore he holds that the articulation has to be meticulous. Okay, what exactly this means, we'll see as we go along. Whatever it is, we paskin that even if you did not enunciate it meticulously, you're yotze. Okay. Now, Omar Abi Tovi, Omar Abi Yoshi. First, we're going to go on a bit of a tangent once we mention this sage. Omar Abi Tovi, Omar Abi Yoshi. My diksiv. What's meant by the pasuk that says, Shalosh heino loy tisbano? There are three phenomena that never are satiated, meaning never get enough. Sha'oil, death, meaning the ground is never satiated. It keeps on absorbing more and more and more, never reaches a point where there's no room for any more dead. People have to stop dying. No, can always absorb more dead. Ve'oitzerechem, a stopped womb, meaning the phenomenon of women not having children, is something that's ever present. Okay, now this is a pasuk in Mishlei which has its significance, but the Gemara here wants to expound a particular point. Wants to expound the fact that the pasuk bunched these phenomena together. Death and the womb. Nechima inyin sho'oil etzel rechem. What does death have to do with the womb? Eloloi ma'aloch. No, the juxtaposition here is significant. We want to teach, to signify. Ma'arechem machni somaitzi. How does it work with the womb? You insert something in, and then later it comes back out. What you insert into the womb doesn't stay there. Later it comes back out, well developed, right? So, ap sho'oil machni somaitzi. Same thing with the grave. You insert something in, but ultimately it comes back out, and we'll add an even better form. Now, now listen to this. The Gemara takes us a step further. We're going to do the math qualitatively. How it works when the grave gives back what it took in. When whatever it is that's inserted into the womb, when you insert the baby into the womb, that's done in utmost privacy, right? Yet, when the baby is taken back out of the womb, it's done with a very big commotion. It's a whole simcha, it's a whole fanfare. So, the grave, which the body is inserted into with a lot of commotion, well, certainly, when the grave gives back the body it took, that will be with a lot of commotion. Meaning, it's going to be a very, very great simcha. The simcha of Tchiyas HaMesim will be like the comparison between the simcha when a baby is born in comparison to when the baby was put in the first place. Then it was absolutely hush-hush. Nobody knew about it. And now when the baby is born, it's a whole commotion. So, proportionally, it's going to be the same thing with the grave. It'll be a very big deal. Now, the Gemara, huh?
Most of the relatives
are going to be dead. There will be plenty of people around, don't worry. Always be plenty of people, and it'll be a big simcha. Azimale is chayk pinu, because a person is going to meet his ancestor who's now younger than him.
You couldn't do that.
What's that?
You can't run out more than 100.
Dayoy. Dayoy. Oh, Jonathan is asking that we call Kabbal Chomer. You have a rule, Dayoy. You can never take the Kabbal Chomer further than the original. So you can. What's that?
The Gemara didn't do that. You did.
No, the Gemara did. But see, me menu bekalei koilus. You're right. Might not necessarily be more of a big deal than the bris. You're right. But the truth is that it's okay. We can use it here because dayoy. The truth is that dayoy is a halachic mechanism which says you can never build more than the original. Right, like for example, the classic kal v'chomer is that if a skinny guy can pick up a 5-pound barbell, so a bodybuilder can certainly pick up a 5-pound barbell. But you can't say in kal v'chomer that if a skinny guy can pick up a 5-pound barbell, certainly a bodybuilder can pick up a 10-pound barbell. You say dayoy. There's a halachic lock on that. You can never take the Kabbal Chomer further than the original premise. Now, but that is a halachic rule. It's not logically, we all understand that no, the Kabbal Chomer doesn't stop that you just say, if I could pick up a 5-pound barbell, a bodybuilder can pick up a 5-pound barbell. Logically, we all understand that the bodybuilder can pick up more. The Kabbal Chomer does tell us that. Just that halachically, you have to put a lid on because you don't know where to stop. And therefore, halachically, you never know if it's justified to really take it all the way there. So halachically, you have to stop. But if you're just having the Kabbal Chomer as a logical mechanism, when you're not using it in the halachic sense, you can take it further. So now the Gemara adds, Mikan tshuva la'omrim in chiyas ha'meisim min ha'Torah. And this is also an answer to those who say that there's no reference to chiyas ha'meisim in the Torah. Now, we might say this sounds like a bit of a stretch, meaning this is called that the Torah talks about Tchias HaMeisim, but this is all part of it. The Torah is full of allusions to Tchias HaMeisim, some more explicit than others, and we have to understand that the truth is that even though this sounds like a bit of a stretch to us, the Torah is set up such that it's meant to be analyzed through these halachic analyses, and therefore if by a hekesh we do have an allusion to Tchias HaMeisim, so we have an allusion to Tchias HaMeisim. Just, what's that? The heckish, the fact that it was bunched together in the pasuk shows us he's supposed to compare one to the other. Now just note, Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, something to think about, the way we express Tchias HaMeisim in Shemana Esrei is how Matzmiach Yeshua, Hashem sprouts forth salvation. It's mamish along the lines of what we're saying here in the Gemara. It's a seed. It's not just that the body went in, the body will come back out. It's like what we're seeing here with seed. We're also seeing that expression used here. It's with human seed, but the expression in the bracha of Tchias HaMeisim is seed as far as a tree. But the point is, when you take a seed and you insert it in the ground, when you take a human seed and you fertilize it, so do you just get back the seed? You put a seed in the ground and you say, okay, now we're going to wait the winter. You come back in the summer, you take it out of the ground, you have the same seed you put in? No. The seed goes through a very, very, very serious metamorphosis. And the seed ends up turning into, you end up with a whole apple tree you got out of that seed. Or in the case of human seed, took a tiny little cell that's a 2/500th of an inch, out comes a fully developed human. When you take that human body and insert it into the grave, you have to realize that what's going to come out qualitatively, it's mamish like planting a seed in the ground. Matzmiach Yeshua, it's going to sprout forth. It's not just that same body is going to get up. It's going to be a qualitatively completely different being. Mamish like the seed, whether the human seed or the vegetable seed being planted in the ground. Okay, we move on. Get you a Gemara. Tani Rabbi Yishaya Kamei Derovin. Just finishing up some points on Kriyashma. Rabbi Yishaya cited a Braisa in the presence of Rava. Uchsav Tom. Remember this word? It's at the end of both the Havta and the Oyem Shemaya. You have to write this down on your tefillin and on your mezuzahs. Now, Hakol Biksav. So, Uchsav Tam implies Uchsav, you should write Tam, as we'll see soon, it has to be a ksiva tama. It has to be a complete writing. You have to write the whole thing. Afilu tzavos. Even the technical commands. Meaning you might think that Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You shall love Hashem. Right? And then it says, and you should write this on your arms and on your and on your doorposts. So you might think, okay, what do I have to write? I have to write Shema and Ahavta, but I have to write that I have to write it? That also I have to write and stick on the doorposts? So you might think, no, when it says to write all this, it means to write the essential part of the Parsha. So therefore the Torah is coming and saying, Uchsabtam, no, it's got to be a complete writing. You have to write the complete Parsha from beginning to end. The Ahavta, including all the technical details. You have to write on the doorpost, that you have to write it on the doorpost and write it on your arms. All those psukim have to be there too. Now, we're seeing that that needs to be derived. That would not be the natural assumption. The natural assumption is, if the Torah says, write the above, it means to write only the above. It doesn't mean to write the very command that you have to write it. So Omale, he said, the Omar Lochmani, who is this opinion that says that we need a pasuk to tell us that you have to write the commands? Rabbi Yehudi, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehudi, because we see that he elsewhere says that when you have a Torah that includes content and then commands to write the content, you only have to write the content, you don't have to write the commands to write it. The Omar Gabe Soita, he said by Soita, Alois Koisev, Tzavois Einoi Koisev. We know that by a Soita, what is the special potion that we prepare for a Soita to drink? We take the Parsha of Soita and we scrape it into water. Right? Now, what does it say in the Parsha of Soita? In the Parsha of Soita it says, Yitet Hashem Aitzach Lo'olav Lishmoa, Hashem will make you into a curse, people will swear by you. And then it continues and says, and the Kohen shall write all this into the bitter waters. So Yehuda says, what do you have to write into the bitter waters? What do you have to scrape into the bitter waters? The curses you have to scrape. You don't have to scrape also the pasuk that says that the Kohen is to write it and scrape it into the water. You don't have to write, you don't have to scrape in the commands. So, the Hasam Udiksi Vikosav Etzaolei Sa'elem. There he says that you only have to write the content, not the commands themselves. Because there it doesn't say Uchsavtam. It just says Vikosav. You should write. Avalhacha Diksiv Uchsavtam. But by filling where it says you should write Uchsavtam, you should write a complete writing. Afilu Tzavois Nami. You have to write even the commands. So therefore, yes, we're seeing that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the default would be, if the Torah says to write a parsha, it means write all the above. You don't also have to write the command to write it. And therefore, by Kriyat Shema, we need a special command telling you that you have to, not only do you have to write the content of the parsha, you also have to write down the command that you have to write it. So now the Gemara says, Atu tamei de Rabbi Yehuda mishum diksiv v'kosav? Do we really require a pasuk telling us here, Uchsav Tam, you have to write the whole writing? Rabbi Yehuda, is it true that he takes as a given that the natural assumption is that you just have to write the content if it just says to write it? That's not why he says it there. Tamei de Rabbi Yehuda mishum diksiv alois. Rabbi Yehuda, on the contrary, the natural assumption is they have to write everything that it says, including the commands. Why by Soita does he say that you don't have to write the commands, you just have to write the curses? Because the Torah says explicitly, it stresses, write the curses. So the Torah tells us all you have to write is the curses, not the commands to write the curses. So if so, why do we need a special pasuk here by Kriyat Shema telling us that you have to write the whole thing? On the contrary, the natural assumption is that you have to write everything. It's just because by Soita the Torah stresses only write the curses, that we only write the curses. But by Kriyat Shema, the Torah does not stress that. So, leave it in the natural assumption. Write the whole thing. So the Gemara says, it's true. No, we did need to stress by Kriyat Shema that you have to write the whole thing. Why? Sal kedai techamina. Because you might think, Neilav, Siva ksiva me'asam. Let's derive, after all, by Saita does say that you only have to write the curses, not the commands. So let's derive from there that by Kriyat Shema also you only have to write the main content, not the technical commands. Mahasam olois in tzavoyisloi. Just like there, you only have to write the curses, not the technical commands. Apocha nami tzavoyisloi. So to hear by Kriyat Shema, you should only write the main content. Shema v'ahavto. You should not have to write the technical commands. So therefore, tosav rachmana uchsavtom. Therefore, the Torah stresses, no, it has to be a complete writing of filu tzavoyis. You must write even the technical commands. Let's level with this. Okay, the truth is, okay, so what's the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us that by Kriyat Shema, not only do you have to write the content, you also have to write the fact that you're required to write it. Well, this is really, as we've explained a few times, that what seems to us to be the technical part of V'ahavta, right? Oh, you have to write it on the doorpost and write it on your arms. It's really not technical either. It's really an essential part of the parsha. It's once again Hashem coming to show how much He wants this relationship to be a part of our consciousness. And He tells us, yes, know that Hashem is caring for you and that Hashem is one. And you should love Hashem. But not just to love Him, and here and there you think of it. I want this to be all over the place. The relationship that we have with Hashem is such that, yes, you have it on your arm, on your head, on your doorpost, wherever you walk, we encounter it. Like the mashal we've said a few times about the Rebbe. Right? When you have a chassidim, they have pictures of their Rebbe all over the place. That's how Hashem wants our relationship with Him to be. You have reminders of Him wherever you go. So the technical commands are not technical at all. It's really showing us the extent of the relationship Hashem wants to have with us. Okay. We'll move on.
It sounds sacrilegious to have that kind of intimate relationship like you have with Hashem and transfer it to a
Rebbe. What's that? We're using that as a mashal. Shir HaShirim uses the love between a man and a woman as a mashal. We have physical things we can relate to in order to use them as mishalim for the relationship we should have to Hashem. We use it as a mashal. That's to clearly be a mashal. But a mashal, as a mashal, we have even more seemingly inappropriate mishalim because the mice, we do have to get across in whatever way we can how, if we'll call it in love, or how, so to speak, obsessed we're supposed to be with Hashem. So not only would we draw on the mashal of a Rebbe, we would even draw on the mashal of a man who is head over heels in love with a woman to bring out how much in love we're supposed to be with Hashem. Now the truth is, at the point, the sentiment that you're expressing was expressed by the Chachamim. They said that at one point in time they thought that Shir HaShirim is perhaps not such an appropriate sefer. Maybe they should store it away. It gives a funny message. But Rabbi Akiva came and said, Kol HaSfarim Kodesh, Shir HaShirim Kodesh Kadashim. All the Sfarim HaKodesh, Shir HaShirim is the epitome of Kedusha. What's Shir HaShirim? Shir HaShirim is describing an intense, passionate romance. That's what Shir HaShirim is. What is it? It's an indication of the way our relationship is supposed to work with Hashem, and of how we're supposed to understand how Hashem relates to us in that same way. Okay. We move on. Now we're going to go back to discuss a little bit in more detail the topic we said that the topic of enunciating things properly. This is an interesting discussion. Now as we saw before, lechatchila, you're supposed to enunciate the words meticulously. Bidyavad yoytze if you didn't. Well, what is involved in enunciating the words meticulously? So let's see. Tani Rav Ovadia Kamei D'Rava. Rav Ovadia taught a braisa in the presence of Rava. As follows. Velimaditem. You shall teach them. But we are expounding that as follows. She'e limudcha tam. It should be a limud tam. A complete, perfect limud. When you're learning this parsha, when you're reciting Kriyat Shema, it should be a perfect recitation. Meaning what? Sheyitein revach bein advekim. Separate words that get stuck. Meaning, you have words that might tend to stick together and kind of get messed up. You have to keep them separate. don't know if you've ever... Oh, that's part of it. Yeah, yeah. If you've ever tried to make pancakes, I don't know if you've made pancakes. And it doesn't work. You pour batter into the pan. 6 pancakes. And the batter spills. You have to be standing with the spatula keeping them apart. They remain distinct pancakes and they don't turn into one big ring. Right? So that's what you have to do with the words of Kriyat Shema also, because they could turn just into one big jumble. Particularly certain words. So, which words? So, Ani Rav Basrei. So Rav responded and he said, yeah, I'll give you examples. Al Levavecha. Al Levavecha. Al Levavecha, there are two lamids there, right? There's the Al and Levavecha. But if you pronounce it straight, Al Levavecha, there's only one lamid. You stuck the two words together. So you have to make sure to keep the words apart. Al, stop sign, Levavecha. Now you got two lamids. Al Levavchem, same thing. Bechol Levavcha, Bechol Levavchem. Esev Besodcha. Not sure exactly what the pshat here is. Yeah, it's two vases, one after the other. But one is a vase, one is a vase. Not sure. Vavatem Mehera, also, two mems. If you don't keep them apart by stopping after Vavatem, it turns into one word, one mem. Vavatem Mehera. So keep it separate, two mems. Vavatem Mehera. Hakonav Psil. The two pays one after the other. Eschem Me'eretz. Right, same idea. So the point here is, make sure to keep each word distinct and clear. Don't let them just run together. What's that? What, the Ace of Besodcha? Wait, which one? Hakanaf Psil. I don't think so, because there certainly is a difference between I don't know what the pshat in the Hakanaf Psil is. I don't know. Now, there are quite a few other examples that the Poskim and Yerushalmi know, for example, that actually make a difference in what you're saying. Like here it's an issue of keeping each word distinct. But for example, V'chora af Hashem Bochem. V'chora af, if you're not careful to keep it distinct, it could turn into V'chora af. V'chora af means to blaspheme. Or, L'ma'an tizkiru. Yerushalmi says, you should be careful to make sure you get the Zayin good. It shouldn't turn into an S. Because L'man Tiskiru means keep all the mitzvahs of Hashem so that you'll be rewarded. That's the purpose of keeping the mitzvahs. No. L'man Tizkiru. So that you remember. Also, Uzchartem as opposed to Uzchartem. There are very many examples of all kinds of things that can get funny sounds if you're not careful to pronounce them properly. So therefore, yes, one must make a point of enunciating the words carefully, meticulously, slowly, and distinctly. Keep each word separate. Now, this sometimes is a problem if the minion doesn't give you enough time. All right. So now, what's that? Oh, so as we said before, you are Yotze B'dieved, but yet we have to remember that L'chatchili is supposed to do this, and L'chatchili you should certainly do things L'chatchila. So, okay, you have to figure out an Eitzah. Either find the right minion or give yourself a little time ahead, which is a good idea anyways. But now listen to this. Omer Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina Kol HaKorei Kriyashma Omedakdek Boisi Yisrael. If a person recites Kriyat Shema and is meticulous to enunciate the letters properly, mitzaninim lo gehenim. Even if Chas V'Shalom has to go through Gehenim, they cool it off for him. A special source. This is a special property that this mitzvah has. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, beforeis shakai melochim, bot hashleg b'tzalmoy. This is a cryptic pasuk in Tehillim, which the Gemara expounds as follows. Al tikre beforeish elo beforeish. Meaning as follows. We're going to read the pasuk like this. Beforeish shakai melochim. When you are busy articulating. Beforeish means to articulate. Shakai, things about Hashem. Melachim, things about kingship. Hashem Malchus Shamayim, but Tashleg B'Tzalmoyim. There, Tzalmoyim will be snowed. What's that? Al Tikre B'Tzalmoyim Ela B'Tzalmoves. Don't read Tzalmoyim, but Tzalmoves. Gehenim, the valley of death. It will be snowed. It will be cooled. It will be cooled off. So therefore, we're saying that there's a special source making a point of enunciating things carefully, properly, and meticulously. What's that? This is referring to Kriyat Shema, yeah. Now the truth is that in general, with all davening, it's good to do this. This is said about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. That he said people who heard him saying it was like there was a stop sign after each word. One word, then another word, and then another word. If you look at Halacha and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesukei DeZimra, it says a person should say Pesukei DeZimra the way a person counts money. You ever took a big bill when you came to the money changer? You got a big wad and you're counting them. It doesn't mean that you are kvetching for a long time. One, two. But you do make a point of keeping each one distinct. If you start garbling things, you don't know what you're up to. You have to make sure, one, keep it distinct. Two, three. Everyone has to be clear and marked, distinct in itself. Once you mix up the two and the three, or the, well, more problematically, the 45 and the 46, you start counting again from the beginning. You miss one bill, it's significant. That's how you should be reciting things. Each one is its own distinct recitation. Now, this gets a little challenging because really what this means is a person should do everything perfect enunciation, which includes a few things. It includes saying things with the dot, the way that's supposed to be said, without the dot, the way that's supposed to be said, meaning tough and soft, pay and fay. The problem is that there's a lot of things that we're not properly aware of. Aleph and Ayin in Ashkenazi pronunciation, there isn't much of a difference. Now the truth is that that could actually be very problematic, because for example, you say Va'avadetem Elohim Achirim. But Va'avadetem means, if it's with an Ayin, Va'avadetem means to worship. If it's with an Aleph, Va'avadetem, it means to destroy. You confuse the word worship with destroying, that's a bit problematic. Right? Ula Avdoi, we say about Hashem, Ula Avdoi. What can the Ashkenazim do? Right? So, Baruch HaShulchan says that, no, Lamaisa, all of us have the way we pronounce things. In the worst case, he says, in the worst case, it's like saying Kriyat Shema in a different language. Because for us, we say La'avoid with an Aleph, meaning what we mean with an Ayin, right? That's how we say it. In the worst case, it's like saying it with a different language, which is Yotze. You don't really lose your Kriyat Shema on basis of this. Now this also answers another question, because what? Right. So, okay, so that's also basically the answer to the question. You know, he's saying if you don't enunciate it properly, you're yaitse. But how garbled can it be? Meaning there must be some dividing line when it's told that you didn't say it at all. You certainly have to say it. How garbled does it allow to be? So basically that's the gauge. As long as you're saying it in a way that in the vernacular it works, right, that lemaisa, someone speaking the language can understand what you're talking about, even though you didn't lemaisa make a point of pronouncing each letter right, it's okay. But yes, there certainly is merit in making a point of being as meticulous as you can about enunciation. This includes also a few other things. There's shvana and shvanach. Some shvas are meant to be pronounced, some are not meant to be pronounced. There's silent shvas. These are not such easy rules of grammar in order to know how to do what. So you can take advantage. The later editions of Sidurim, they actually inserted. I think the Art Scrolls have it, and also the Elias. A lot of the later, I think that almost all the Sidurim that have come out in the last 10 years have it marked, which Shavuot are supposed to be pronounced and which Shavuot are not supposed to be pronounced. It takes some effort, but it's a worthwhile effort. Okay. Now, I just want to make one point, and this is a beautiful point. Sometimes people are not familiar with the language, and they really do say things in a way that they really mess things up, like we showed before. V'chara'af can turn into blasphemy. V'chara'af. So listen to this. Listen to a medrash in Shir HaShirim. Again, v'chatzili, you should try your best to enunciate. But what do we say about a person? He doesn't know the rules of grammar. He's not familiar with Hebrew. He's not used to the language. He just kind of says it in a very crude way. And he might be messing up all kinds of words. He might, like we're saying, he might even be saying blasphemous things. What do we do with that? So listen to this. This is beautiful. This is a medrash in Shir HaShirim. Says as follows. There's a pasuk that says, "V'degloy olai ahava," which simply understood means Hashem raises over me the banner of love. Love is what characterizes His relationship with me. But listen to this. Listen how the Gemara explains it. The Medrash, Shir HaShirim. Amar Rabbi Acha. The word Ava, the Ohavta es Hashem Elokecha, you shall love Hashem, can turn into, easily enough, you should hate Hashem. How's that? Have a person who's not really familiar, accustomed to the language. The Ohavta es Hashem Elokecha. You know what that means? You should hate Hashem. Chas v'shalom. Now the guy's well-meaning, right? Doesn't know the language well, he's not used to it. He's trying. And he says with a lot of intensity, V'oyavto es Hashem Elokecha. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, V'dilugo elai ava. Which the Gemara, the Medrash says a little further, V'dilugo elai ava. Even though, what he's literally saying is actually blaspheming me, as far as I'm concerned, it's all love. As we expound the word v'diguloi, I don't know how they got to it, but they say we darshan it v'diglugoi elai ava. His mockery of me is taken with love. So that's why you don't have to get too nervous about this subject. The Maisa, you're trying to enunciate it in the best way you can. You don't have to worry, I'm not familiar enough with the language, who knows what I'm saying. I have this medrash that says person is trying to say it right, even if it comes out mamish blasphemous, the Gluga Elayava, his mockery of me I take with love. Because it's said with love. He doesn't realize what he's saying. Okay. What's that? That's right. That's the idea. Okay. One other point I'll just mention, once we're talking about the subject, if you want to go all the way with the enunciation, the Paiskim add also that it's good, if you can, to say it with the right trop also. But that's already I don't even know if we call it a lechatchila, it's a hidur. Therefore it's gonna mess up your Kriya Shema, just skip it. But if it's easy enough, it's a good thing to do. Okay. Omar Bichome Ber Rabbi Chanina. Lama nismichu oyholim lenecholim. Completely different exposition. Once we talked about juxtapositions, why in the pasuk are tents put together with creeks? Diksiv says in the pasuk, "Kinecholim nitayu." These are like, this is in Bilam's bracha, Parshas Balak. It's like creeks that extend. Kiganoi salei nahor. Like gardens planted by a riverside, ka'ahalim nota Hashem. The way we're understanding it now, it's like tents that Hashem pitched. Why are tents being associated with creeks? Loi malach, it's coming to tell you. Manicholim malim esahoda mitum alitaro. Just like a creek. What's a creek? A mikveh. It's a mikveh. Just like a creek can bring a person from tuma to tara. So too tents. We find tents are the referred to in the psukim is used to refer to batei medrash, a place of Torah learning. they have the same effect as a mikveh in the spiritual sense. They bring a person from a state of liability to a state of merit. You can immerse yourself in Torah. I'll just note that this is actually very appropriate seasonally, because that is actually the concept of learning all night Shavuos, learning Shavuos night. Zoya says, you know what that is? The Sfirat HaOmer will end with this. Sfirat HaOmer is 7 weeks. Those weeks correspond. We came out of Mitzrayim, we count 7 weeks, and then we go to Har Sinai, to Kabbalah Satera, to Shavuos. So we came out of Mitzrayim, we came out of the tomb of Mitzrayim. That's like a woman who was a Zava or an Ida. She was bleeding, she stopped bleeding. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, the tumah stopped. But she's not Tor yet. She has to count 7 clean days. Those 7 weeks correspond to the 7 days. To count 7 days, and then she can join to be with her husband, which was what happens on Shavuos. That's what happened at Har Sinai. It was mamish, like the epitome of intimacy. The Zohar says that the learning that we do on Shavuos night is like immersing in the mikveh in preparation for those intimate moments with Hashem. It's actually something to note. Actually, the peak of Shavuos is not Shavuos night. You have to realize this. If you learn all night and it means sleeping through chakras, the peak of Shavuos is Shavuos morning. And we're learning all night in preparation for that morning. So if it works better to learn until 2 and then go to sleep or whatever it is and be able to do the davening on Shavuos morning right, to be able to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha right, do that. Okay, we'll stop there.